all recognize that there are a number of changes that are taking place in our world. And in the midst of these changes, there are some things that we know that I believe can help strengthen our faith. Henry Light, born in 1793, he died in 1847, was an English preacher who was known as a man frail in body, but strong in faith and spirit. It was he who coined the phrase, "It is better to wear out than to rust out." His hymn, "Abide With Me," which Eddie led us in this morning, was written shortly before his death. It was based upon Luke 24, verse 29, but they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went to stay with them. And verse 2 contains these words, "Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." And those words reminded me of some things that we know for certain that can help us remain strong in the midst of these changes that are taking place all around us. John chapter 9, verse 24. "So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.' He then answered, 'Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.'" So there was one thing that man knew with certainty. "I was blind, but now I see." And then in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, and Eddie also led us in the song from this particular verse. Eddie, thank you for the songs this morning. "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Now, let's consider some things that we can know. You know, we've heard that expression, "What do you know?" You know, sometimes that's what we'll say to somebody when I say, "What do you know?" And sometimes they'll say, "I don't know much." I remember Bob Freeman. Some of you may remember Bob Freeman, Von Seal Freeman's husband. But when I used to visit Bob, I would always go up and say, "Bob, what do you know?" And he would say, "I'm alive." That was his stat. But at least that's one thing he knew for certain, that he was alive at that point. But that was his standard reply. "What do you know, Bob?" "I'm alive, Alan." "Okay. Well, what are some things that we can know?" Number one, God reigns. Psalm 93, verse 1, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed and girded himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved." Psalm 97, verse 1, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad." Psalm 99, verse 1, "The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake." Well, each of those psalms begin with those three powerful words, "The Lord reigns." And the psalmist reminds us, even when things are uncertain, there are at least three things very certain. The world is established, his throne is established, his testimonies stand firm. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. This is the Daniel Nebuchadnezzar thing, and where the king has the dream. "But Daniel answered before the king and said, 'As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed." One thing we know, God is on his throne. He is in control. He reigns. Number two, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Thomas A. Kempis' words have often been quoted about this verse. "Follow me, I am the way and the truth and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way which you must follow, the truth which you must believe, the life for which you must hope." And then Peter in Acts 4 verse 12, and we have sung about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. Well, listen to what Peter said. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." There is something about that name. No other name by which we must be saved. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His blood is still able to cleanse us from all our sins. Yes, there is indeed power in the precious blood of Christ. And then number three, we know that the gospel is still the power of God for salvation. Let's again read the text that was read this morning, Romans chapter 1. "I am under obligation to both Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice the three I ams in the passage I just read. I am under obligation, Paul said. It is my duty to proclaim this saving message. And then Paul says, I am eager to share the gospel with you who are in Rome. Paul had an eagerness, a desire to share his faith with those who were living in that great city in that day and time. And then he concludes by saying, and I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is indeed the power of God for salvation. Number four, we know that the church was conceived in the mind of God and established by Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, 10 and 11, "So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord." Did you note that line? "This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord." His wisdom to be made known through the church, but this was in accord with God's eternal purpose. And then Jesus in Matthew 16, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." And so the church is a part of God's eternal purpose. That's something that we can know. It was planned, it was prophesied, it was promised, and then established on that great day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 2. But then we also know that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, a familiar verse to most of us, "All Scripture is inspired by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And then Peter said, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved, and I think the word there could be translated carried along, but moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. So this is God's final authority on all spiritual matters. And as we read from one of those Psalms earlier, God's testimonies are fully confirmed. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable in a number of ways that Paul outlines there. And then Peter reminds us that men carried along, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. And then we know there is an eternal heaven to be gained and an everlasting hell to be avoided. Jesus concluded his teaching on the judgment with these sobering words, Matthew 25 and verse 46. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's something that we can know, that there is an eternal heaven prepared for those who are faithful until death. But Jesus also warned that certain ones who have not been obedient, who have not obeyed the will of God, will go away into eternal punishment. So as faithful Christians, we know these things. And hopefully we are committed to them. And I think if we do know these things, and if we are committed to them, we face a bright future. We've all heard that saying that we may not know all that the future holds, but we do know with certainty who holds the future, that that is in God's hands. And we've talked about that point of God reigns. And so that's that first point that we emphasize in terms of things that we can know. What do you know? Well, I hope here are some things that we all know today. God reigns. God is in control. God is on his throne. Now, some in our world may question that with all that's going on, but I believe with all of my heart that God reigns. As Daniel said, however, there is a God in heaven. And so that gives me some assurance. It doesn't mean that I don't need to be out there doing whatever I can do to really proclaim God's will and to proclaim the gospel of Christ and to stand up for what is right and to stand up for the truth. But nothing will change the fact that God reigns. And as I suggested some time ago, I believe that we need to be praying for rain. And what I mean is that we need to pray that God will continue to reign in each one of our hearts. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is something about that name. One sign I see on one of the church buildings when I go to one of the nursing homes, it's been up there for a while, but it says, in case you forgot, his name is Jesus. There's something about that name. The gospel is God's power for salvation. There is power in the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The word that Paul uses there, the power of God, is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. God's power, God's dynamite is contained there in the powerful gospel of Christ. Then the church was conceived in the mind of God, established by Jesus Christ. The Bible is indeed the inspired word of God. There is an eternal heaven. There is an everlasting hell. Those are some things that we need to know. What do you know? Well, I know those things. I believe those things. And I want to continue to share those things and to teach those things as long as I have breath in my body. But I'm thankful for that certainty, for those things that we can know. We're going to sing our song of encouragement now, and if there's anyone here this morning who is ready to respond to that gospel of Christ, which we've talked about here, that is the power of God for salvation. And the gospel basically consists of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the one who comes to him is able to imitate what Jesus himself went through. That is, that one dies to sin, he's buried in the waters of baptism, he's raised up to begin walking in newness of life. And so, if anyone needs to take that decisive step this morning, let me encourage you to do that. Because I do believe with certainty that the gospel continues to be the power of God unto salvation. If you desire the prayers of this church for any reason, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. So if we can serve you, would you let us know how as we stand together and sing?